This is the Annie Fry Show.
Oh, thank you for WrestleMania 4 and 5, by the way. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. But if you're going to sit in that chair, if you're going to do the Tyrus experience, you have to do it right, because you are the people's champion, Mr.
Oh,
Trump.
Wow.
And on behalf of all the people of America, this is the last
I like that. Now I'm really on. That's a real, oh, that's a good one.
No, it's the man who makes all the professional ones.
Beautiful, yeah. This is the real one. This is a real deal. This
Hey,
no, I'm going to give a fake belt to the next president.
We're more used to that. That's, thank you, Tyrus. That,
you are the people's champion.
That's Tyrus. You know him Thursdays on this show, and you got to see him last night with Donald Trump.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Now, Tyrus, I don't want to say that you stole the show last night from Gutfeld, but when you presented that belt
this morning,
what's that?
It's ridiculous. I've been pulled over three times this morning trying to go to work. Apparently, I'm under an investigation for kidnapping because I stole that beat. No, I'm just kidding.
Pretty great.
Always humble. Always humble.
He sat in your chair. He sat in your chair, Tyrus. What's that like?
He did. It was uncomfortable, but. I figured if you're going to give your chair up to somebody, it might as well be the president of the United States. So it was fun. I think given where he was coming from, just coming off an attempted assassination.
Another.
To be able to smile on the president's face, I feel like it was a career highlight of mine for sure. I would put that up there with my first WrestleMania and, you know, being called the GOAT by the president is pretty cool.
Yes, he did call you that, and he explained the GOAT as well. You know, Tyrus, I want to know, just from a background standpoint, I don't know how much you can divulge for us, but how long did you guys know that Donald Trump was going to be on the Wednesday Gutfeld show?
We knew, I think, about 3 days, 3 or 4 days. We don't have a problem with leaking in our department, so we didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the day of.
Is it true that the audience that showed up that day had no idea?
Yeah, no clue. They had their look under your seat, but instead of car keys, it was President Trump.
That's unbelievable. That's got to be so wild to show up
for
that
show. That was the only way you could do it, though. Could you imagine the lines, you know, and not to mention the fact that as much as you like ratings and things like that, given the fact that there's been two attempts on the president's, and live, I think surprises like that are better for everybody in terms of it's not like it's going to stop, unfortunately. So,
had you met him before in person? Had you had that?
No.
That's the first time?
We met briefly a couple times in the WWE, but nothing, you know, nothing more than, you know, hello, Mr. Trump, nothing like that. I tried to kind of avoid it. You know, I always felt like talking about presidents is better if you don't know him, you know, but then you meet him and then he's exactly the opposite of anything that social media, that the media, the way they discuss him is disgusting. Let me, from a personal standpoint, now I brought my other kids weren't able to be there and it was such short notice, but my daughter, her and Ingrid's aunt came, who had no idea. It was a surprise. And when he met my daughter for the first time, you would have thought that it was his granddaughter.
Oh.
You know, he was like, he knew her name. They talked about horses. She gave him some tips on speeches. Nothing like a 10-year-old telling you talk. You know, Georgie.
Not surprising.
I like what you said, but you talk a little long. Like, okay, thanks for meeting the president. I'll just show myself out. You just blew my ambassadorship to the Cayman Islands, sweetheart. But no, he was, and he spoke to everyone, and he was just, there's no cameras on, so there's no reason for him to do it, you know, but.
Why does he do that? Because he said last night, I think the Gutfeld, there was a conversation between Trump and Gutfeld, and it was like, do you want a nice guy, or do you want a guy who's going to get things done? And he's like, I get stuff done. But then he goes, but I also think I'm a nice guy. And he said that in a way that I felt was genuine. Is he politicking when he's doing that with your family, or is he a nice dude?
I'm going to be honest with you. I wish I could say that he was stoic and he was, you know, just kind of like, hey, nice to meet you. No, like everybody in that room, he knew enough about them to have a good conversation. You know, and he was like, he was like grandpa. I mean, there was no other way to describe it. He was so nice to everyone. He was so polite to my wife, my family, like my daughter and him. They talk forever. You know, he's, you know, talking about when's her next horseback riding thing and her equestrian. You know, it's just one of those things where I was just really taken back. As much fun as it was being on stage with him, seeing that side of him that normally I wouldn't think that someone like me would ever see. I mean, if you would have said at any point in my career that I'd be chumming it up with the President of the United States on national television, I would have looked at you like you were, you know, whatever you're smoking, can I have two?
Yeah. I mean, aside from President Trump's appearance last night on Gutfeld, you have seen a lot of things in your lifetime. You've been a lot of places. People can read about it in both of your books, and I encourage them to do that. Tyrus, when I have a feedback form on my website and people fill it out and tell us what they like about the show, you are the number one thing that people say as far as guests go. You are the number one response of what people like about this show. And it's because you're a real dude, because you respond in a real way. And I think that Donald Trump has that same, like, you're just a genuine person.
1,000% cut from the same cloth in terms, like, you might not like, he's going to tell you like it is,
yeah,
whether you like it or not. And he also doesn't take things personal. I think that's probably the most amazing thing. Is like, I would imagine, given the amount of falsities and abusive things, and you talk about people just being condemned and being compared by Hitler by people. That very easily could make you a bitter person, a guarded person. Why do I even need to do these interviews or whatever stuff, or come on shows and even risk, you know? But that's not who he was. Like, I think the RFK Jr. story is about summed it up. He was literally suing him, and he still flew in his family anywhere. That's who he is. I think the greatest crime that the mainstream media has done is that they have painted a picture of a complete opposite of nothing but left-wing talking points about a man that they don't know anything about. Because here's the sad part. He would probably be the one Republican president that would work with them on things. We saw that with Obamacare.
Yeah.
And he was saying, yep, I don't like it, but it's the best thing we have right now, so I want to work to improve it. When's the last time you heard anybody say anything positive about the other side, especially given the fact that literally after bullets go flying over his head and nick his ear, then another attempt within seconds of saying, oh, we're so condemned violence. Having said that, he's a danger to democracy. So, I mean, they're so far behind. This is all they got, and this is the ugliness, and I really hope a special counsel is appointed after this election to look into all of this, because I don't believe in coincidences, and I think this entire administration, from the deception of Biden's health, has been doing this country a great injustice, and I hope the people responsible are brought to justice, because what we're seeing now, you wouldn't even see in a third world country.
Yeah. It's actually pretty frightening when you stop and think about it. We're speaking with Tyrus. He's a regular on Gutfeld, of course, was on last night with former President Donald Trump, potentially next President Donald Trump. He's a Fox News contributor and an author. You guys had Trump on. He got the whole hour. He was the star of the show. Everything centered around him. I'm curious if Gutfeld has an open invitation extended to Kamala Harris to do the same.
Yes, 1,000%. Would love to have her on. Would love to have fun. Let's see if she can have fun. Let's see if she can. You know, I don't want to unburden her by what has been, but her, you know, her last few speeches haven't been that great. So, you know, for someone who uses a lot of adjectives, she really has a hard time explaining shit. I mean, stuff. Sorry.
you're keeping Brad on his toes here.
Time to find out if that dump button works.
Yeah, it works. We got it. So, Tyrus, I want to ask you before we let you go. When you are, you live in the Northeast now, you're in New York City quite often. Donald Trump does a rally in New York. There are a lot of, you know, politicos wringing their hands over, why are we spending time and resources in New York? I don't know if New York is in play the way Donald Trump says it is.
You know what, though?
But why be in New York?
Two things. He is forcing them to spend money in New York and New Jersey. And you know what? I think New Jersey is very much in play. I think New York is going to be close. I don't think this is a close election. based by the behaviors of what we're seeing from the other side. They're in full-on panic mode. I don't think she has a road. I think I'm making a prediction that the election will be settled by 10 p.m. Eastern. I think they want it to seem close. I really, as best as the machine can do, they're running out of celebrities. Unless they can pull like a Jesus Christ showing up at one of her rallies, they're running out of people. So I don't think it's that close, which makes it more dangerous and more scary, because they're going to pull up. The closer it gets, the more desperate they're getting. You see that they're trying to go back and bring up stuff from like 20 and 30 years ago. I think she was bringing up newspaper copies from New York back in the day. So they're really, really going all out. I think it's important that he goes to every state. And until the votes are cast, every state's at play. And I think that needs to be your attitude. Mm-hmm. When you start saying, oh, they got that, that spreads. He is fighting. His message is that he is fighting for the American people, and that is everywhere. It also means that you also need to work with the other side. And I think he understands that now more than ever. And I think there will be, based off just my limited interaction with him, I think if you came at him with a sound plan and you know came from a Democratic side, I think he would work with you. I think he would sign it. I think he's to the point now where no one knows better than him the importance of unity and ending this divisiveness. There's been two attempts on his life.
Yeah. We're asking so much of this man, and he's showing up for the job every single time. Last question,
with
Tyrus.
A smile on his face.
Yeah, I know, with the confidence. It's unmatched. All right, we have a poll up every day, and I just want to make sure we get you on the record with this, because Hillary Clinton came out and said she thinks that some of the trouble with Kamala is just the fact that she's a woman. Would you vote for a woman for president, Tyrus?
I would vote for Nikki Haley. I would vote for Tulsi Gabbard. I would vote for KT McFarland. I would vote for Judge Jeanine. I would vote. I have absolutely no qualms about it. I'd vote for Deborah Winger. Childhood crush, sorry. If the plan, there's only one Wonder Woman, sorry. But there's only one. But to say when they're saying those things, they have nothing. Have absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay? We're no longer at the we vote for women, we vote for black men, we vote for gay men and women. We're past that. That's not this country anymore. Anyone can run. She was VP. You know, she had every advantage to run. She's had 3.5 years to prove herself, to show what's going on. If they were doing a good job, if they were doing what they were supposed to do for the country, if the country didn't feel this way, she probably would win in a landslide. And ironically, President Trump probably wouldn't have ran.
It's true. Well, I think it's important that we get on record with that, because it's not the gender.
I will vote for a woman. I just would not vote for Hillary Clinton, because I just didn't feel like she... Nothing about her represents me or what I'm trying to do in my life, and I just didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, Trump grew on me. I had the same issues as everyone else did in the beginning, but his deeds outweighed. And you know what? I kind of dig the smack talking now.
You're there for it.
Dig. Like I said last night, maybe you got to show them some pictures of the mansions in Mexico. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It worked with Abdullah, so, you know. But I have fun. I'm still kind of like chilling out that we're... I mean, did you know he called me to go? Just want to put it out there.
Yes.
I know you're a journalist. Just want to put it out there. And
it's facts. It's news to report, Tyrus, of course.
No, it was all silliness aside. It was like a Johnny Carson moment for me. You know, Johnny Carson, Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like one of those things where, like, they won't give us Emmys, but last night, if they were giving Emmys out, I stole the Emmy.
You did a great job.
But the American people got a chance to see a side of him that no one else gets to see. And it's a shame, because if he did go in interviews where they weren't trying to pigeonhole him in, call him a racist or you know, lie check him every 2 seconds, like we saw at the debate, I think things would be different. But the other side is... they're a lost cause, and I think the American people see what time it is. The Teamsters see what time it is. So I think the message is loud here. America's back, and You know, hold our beer. We're going to fix this.
From your lips to God's ears, Tyrus. Thank you for being with us. You were the talk of X last night. We're grateful you made the time for us again this afternoon. Always good to talk to you.
Yep, you know, just one goat to another.
Thank you. We'll get you next week, Tyrus. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. Tyrus is a regular on Gutfeld. Last night's Gutfeld must watch. If you've ever thought about watching Gutfeld and you haven't before, Donald Trump masterful last night on being, what would you say, a human being? Just being a person?
Yes.
What have I said a million times? Does he need to do in order to win?
He needs to beat the caricature that the media has painted of him.
And he did that last night.
Oh my gosh,
in
dude.
A great way.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, getting my friend Stewie in here, Stuart Rosenblum of Stewart's American Mortgage, a great partner and sponsor of this show, but also my go-to when it comes to what did the Fed do? What does that mean? What does that mean for my mortgage rate? What does that mean for other people's mortgage rates? I ask him all these questions usually on text message. Might as well ask him on the air so that we can get some of your questions in here as well. Stewie from Stewart's American Mortgage. We come back.
Executive meetings, there is a half a point cut on the interest rates from the Federal Reserve. They say in light of inflation progress, as well as the balance of risks. Now, the decision was not unanimous. The Board of Governor Michelle Bowman voting against it, saying that she believed a 25 basis point cut is the way they should have gone. Now, the Federal Reserve signaled two more rate cuts for this year if they go by 25 basis points. That makes a full percent down by the end of 2024. But the dot plot shows the Federal Reserve was one vote away from only one more rate cut this year. These votes are very close.
So when I hear these things, I'm just not smart enough to understand all the economics around this, but I do know what the general implications are. So what I do is I hear, okay, the Fed's going to cut rates, or the Fed decided not to cut rates, and then I text Stewie. Because Stewie understands these things, and he also knows how to explain them to me in a way that even I will understand. Stewart's American Mortgage, Stewie Rosenblum, is in here with me to talk to you and me about the Fed. That was a pretty big announcement yesterday.
I think it was rather expected. By the way, thank you for having me.
You bet.
It was rather expected. The market's already planned for a 0.5% rate cut. The economy is slowing down. Labor numbers are getting worse. Overall, the Federal Reserve doesn't want us to dive into a recession-type environment, so we knew that the 0.5% was coming. I think what the fear was, if they wouldn't cut a 0.5%, what would that mean for the overall perspective of future immediately, the immediate future for the economy. So the Federal Reserve is being smart. I think they're actually a little bit slow. They probably should have done something about last meeting, but they did it now 0.5%. And I would anticipate there is going to be another rate cut. I'm actually predicting another 0.5% between now and the end of the year, as you heard on the report.
Or post November 5th? Playing a sound here. Yeah, go ahead.
That's the question of the day. I mean, that's almost a political question. So I'm sure there's a tug of war happening between the White House and the Federal Reserve as to whether this should be before or after. I'm not sure. I think we have to wait and see what future reports are, what the September numbers look like before the Federal Reserve jumps in and just goes ahead and does another 0.5%. I think you're going to see the economy still slowing, and I think they're going to be anxious to make sure this doesn't happen. And what they don't want to do is overheat the economy by reducing it, everybody going out and borrowing money and spending it all of a sudden out of the blue. So I think they're going to be very cautious.
What's the real world implication for somebody? I want to talk about mortgages and mortgage rates. Obviously, your expertise as a sponsor of the show is Stewart's American Mortgage. And if you want to reach out to him, we're going to put up his information on the YouTube live stream so that people can get your contact information there. Does this affect grocery prices? Does this affect buying cars? Does this affect the things that we do in our regular lives? Our ability to afford things more. Is that what they're trying to do?
Absolutely. There are certain things that the Federal Reserve cannot control. So fuel prices, they really can't control. Food prices, they really can't control, because that's very dependent on what's going on in the whole world. If there's a war in the Middle East, it affects oil production, then obviously that's going to affect the cost of gasoline that's out there. Food costs, similar. We import, export, it comes all around the world. That's also something they cannot go ahead and impact. But if you're going to buy a car, and it's more expensive on the interest rate, you're not going to necessarily buy that car. So the Federal Reserve does have direct impact on large goods. i.e. cars, even mortgage rates.
Yeah.
So indirectly, they do impact those things. They have not been very successful in slowing down the housing market, and I think that's because of the what happened during the pandemic. So right now, they're trying to impact it and bring the economy a little bit up. More labor, more job potential openings, and that's going to kind of level things off for everybody.
I'm reading from Fox Business right now. Fed decision opens the real estate floodgates after four years.
It's going to be bad.
What does that mean?
Well, real estate right now has been kind of a tug of war. If anybody knows, they're shopping for a house. There are five or six contracts going on a home.
People are going way over asking
10,
price
20,
and not
30.
Getting it.
I saw somebody actually offer $60,000 of asking price and not get the house.
That's wild.
Well, now what's going to happen is mortgage rates are going to start dropping, and they have been. It's almost a whole percent plus what it was 6 to 8 weeks ago. So this is a pretty big drop. Once the general public gets used to the idea that the rates are down, they're going to say, hey, I can afford it now. And you're going to see all these people that have been waiting by the sidelines jump in to want to buy homes. The challenge you're going to have, you're not going to get a proportional amount of sellers to the buyers that are coming into the market. So if you think 40, yeah. 50, 60,000 over asking price was a challenge, just wait when more people come out and all of a sudden want to buy the homes and they're getting more competing offers.
This is why you've always said if people are trying to get into the market right now and buy a home, that when rates go down and more people are getting into the game to buy a home, if you have more buyers then you have supply, prices are still going to go up. You might be able to lock in a lower price now at a little bit higher of a rate if people are anticipating rates are going to go down. And then you just refinance and grab the lower rate, but you're not paying a higher rate and a higher price.
Right.
At
so
the same
you're going to have one or the other. If the rates go down, the demand is going to be out there. You're going to end up paying more for the house. Your best bet is exactly what you said. Buy the house now, pay a little bit above what the interest rate is or what you want to spend. I remember my parents were telling me stories where they used to take the cushions out of the couch to get the quarters to make the mortgage payments. So you'll be struggling a little bit, but in 6 months, you can refinance and with us for free. And you'll end up getting the house that you want. If you wait, you may not even get that house, and you're going to end up paying 10, 20% more than what it is today. So a smart thing for buyers are to buy now and then refinance later.
I think that's a really smart move. And the other thing, too, that I always stress for people is if you do reach out to Stewie, and you can call him or text him right now, 314-324-4440, and you talk to him about your situation, he's going to help you do what's best for you, not what's best for him. And that's why he's been so successful with Stewart's American Mortgage for so long, because he cares about the old way of doing business and treating you right along the process. With this bigger rate cut, some people are saying it should have been cut a little bit before, a little bit this time, instead of doing it as much at this point right now. I have my suspicions about the politics of it, but I admittedly am ignorant to what any of these things mean without doing the research. And then when I do the research, I'm always trying to source the political lean of the person who's telling me what this means. But one thing I have seen that's been consistent is that the big rate cut implies that there is some significant trepidation about the future of the economy.
Well,
it's suggesting that the economy is not doing well.
That's exactly what it's suggesting. You know, again, the Federal Reserve's job is to make sure that inflation kind of calms down and our economy continues to grow at a very safe pace. If they're cutting the rates, they're trying to stir up economic activity. They've got closed doors meetings where they're saying, hey, the economy is starting to slow down here and maybe at a pace that we don't want it to. We better do something quickly to get the economy back up rolling. And the way they do it quickly is by encouraging us as consumers to go out and buy. The only way we're going to buy is if it's cheaper to buy those big ticket items. So they're thinking about this. They're seeing what's happening. Inflation's going down, maybe not at the rate that we'd like to see it, but it's definitely going down. So the Federal Reserve is cutting in, and I think they're going to continue doing so. But mortgage rates, you know, that's the big story right now is a whole percent and a half lower than what it was 6 weeks ago.
It's one of the biggest impacts you can make on your own personal financial situation is to make sure that your mortgage is positioned the best it can possibly be, which is another reason my experience with the Bega loan, I'm a 2-time customer myself, and they were both to refinance to lower rates right outside of COVID. So the rate is super low. But I am one of those people who's sitting here watching rates because I'd like to build a home. But I don't want to lose a 2 point whatever rate and have a 7.5% rate and not be able to afford the house that I want to build. So I'm just like kind of looking at the revolving door, waiting to see when's my chance to jump in.
It ain't going down to 2% or 3%. Right. So that's it. You got to get comfortable with what the new payment's going to be. People have kind of acknowledged the fact that it isn't going to happen again. But you know, if you're in the market to build or you're mm-hmm. in the market to refinance your house, there are some serious ways you can save money. And I'll just talk for a second, if you can, about the refinance part of it. There are different customers have different kinds of circumstance. So a lot of people want to refinance and save $200-$300 a month on their payment. They need the cash flow. Quality of life is important. You need that extra money in your pocket. We had 97.1 listeners, three of them yesterday, okay, which is usually uncommon with the same type of basis. They went from a 30-year loan, they're a year and a half into it, from a 30-year loan to a 20-year loan, their payment went down $50 a month.
That's fantastic.
They knocked off 8 years of their loan, which translated to $75,000 to $100,000 saved.
I was going to say, what's the value of that? It's astronomical. It's huge.
So some people want to go ahead and save cash flow. If you're in a position where you have some credit card debt, you want to improve your credit score, that's an option. Improve your cash flow by reducing your rate. Some people want to say, you know what, I want to get rid of my mortgage. And mm-hmm. the best way to do it is refinance from a 30 to a 20 or from a 20 or a 30 to a 15 year. And all of a sudden, you're going to save a fortune amount of money. So there are so many different ways to do it. People don't think about it. Wow, $75,000 saved in money. That's a lot of money.
That's a huge amount of money. You mentioned credit card debt, and I know that this is a cash out refinance is something that you have helped people with who are burdened by credit card debt. When everything it costs more, people have dipped into their savings, maybe drained their savings, built up credit card debt, and they feel stuck. One of the things President Trump said yesterday, and I don't know the details about it, I don't know that you know the details about it, but he was talking about capping credit card interest rates at 10% temporarily. With that set aside, credit card interest rates are through the roof.
Over 30%. It's the one financial vehicle that I can think of that doesn't have any caps. So these credit card companies have no legal limits. They can charge you 30%. Us as consumers, we're almost afraid to look at that statement to see what the APR is.
Mm-hmm.
20-30%. And if you're in a situation where you have a large amount of credit card debt, you know, you may not acknowledge it, but you know in the back of your mind, your credit score is dropping. So how do you get it fixed? Well, you consolidate it, you improve your cash flow, and when you're in that situation, all of a sudden your credit score starts to get bigger and rise higher to higher numbers. We had a customer, had a 590 credit score a year and a half ago, consolidated his debt. We just refinanced him today. His credit score is a 784. So if you want to get...
That's life-changing.
That is life-changing. If you want to get from a position of challenge to a position of really where your quality of life is improved, you have to take that step. You have to consolidate it. The debt's not going away, mm-hmm. so you have to do something about it. Your house is your best vehicle to get the best rate and a stable rate, not an adjustable, because these credit cards are adjustables.
Right.
So your stable rate, stable payment, and it'll give you another lease on life. And it's very, very important that you actually say you can do it and you get off your chair and pick up the phone and make it happen.
Chuck just commented on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. How do you justify a loan when the price is inflated by demand? Does it appraise at the inflated value? Because I look at my home. I bought my home in 2015. And what my home is worth now versus what I paid for it, I look like I've been working hard to pay off that mortgage compared to the value. But the value is so inflated. How do loans and that inflation of those home prices, how does that work?
Is it inflated? When you say inflated, you're implying that there's no the value, that you're mm-hmm. overpaying for it. Let's go back 10, 20 years. What were the prices of homes then?
Not that.
Yeah. I mean, I bought my first house in, I'm a little bit older, 1994, mm-hmm. and it's in Chesterfield, and I paid $130,000 for it. So when you're implying inflated or you're overpaying, you're making the assumption that you're not going to get value for what you're investing in your home. That's not traditionally what's happened over the last 50 to 100 years. So I would expect that home prices and home values will continue to appreciate over time. Maybe not at the pace and at the rate that we've seen over the last couple years, but they're going to appreciate over time. I don't see I don't see real estate values dropping back.
Right.
We had that back in 2008, 2009.
There'd have to be a really rough correction.
Rough correction. And then in 2008, 2009, when they had all these mortgage programs that would obviously collapse, collapse the mortgage industry. That was dangerous. That was unethical. There were a lot of bad practices. That's not the story today. The story today is demand versus supply. And I don't think you're going to see prices recede at levels until maybe 2030, 2035, when all these people who have 2 and 3% rates, their mortgages are going to start getting paid off and they're going to move and downsize. So these prices are going to keep going up over the next couple of years.
Okay, so a couple of quick hit questions before we let you go. If I am paying above what percent should I consider looking into a refinance right now?
I think it depends on your mortgage balance. If you have an interest rate over 6.5%, maybe over 6.75%, especially if you have mortgages over $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, you ought to take it right now. If you're going to refinance with us, you're not going to have any closing costs. And that's a big question. People don't want to refinance, and they're waiting for the bottom. That way, maybe I should wait, maybe I shouldn't wait. If you refinance with us, there's no closing costs. Guess what happens in 6 months from now? Rates go down, and you can do it again. You have nothing you're losing. So if you're in the upper sixes, if you're in the sevens, if you have an FHA loan or you have a VA loan specifically, you should call us. You should refinance right now. I'm refinancing customers right now, veterans, in the fives. So if they got rates in the sixes or sevens, they can automatically refinance. No appraisal, income doesn't matter, and get extremely low rates. So there's a great opportunity. I would put that mark over 200,000 with the bagel loan.
Yes.
Over 6.5%, 6.75%. Do it now.
So the number to call, you can text him as well, 314-324-4440, 314-324-4440. One last question for you. People who have been thinking about buying a house, whether that means listing theirs for sale, I guess it might be a good time to list your house to sell too, but any hesitation whatsoever in getting into the market to get that house purchased because of interest rates, sitting on the fence, waiting for rates to come down a little bit more?
You know what? Your home is your castle, okay? People say to me all the time, should I wait, should I not wait? My recommendation is if you find the home that's going to make you happy, you make money, you spend money to enjoy life and have a good quality of life. Look to see if there's a house that you want to buy. That should be the deciding factor to improve your quality of life and your enjoyment. That should be the deciding factor. Waiting or not, well, if you wait, interest rates go down, you may not get that house. So look at the house that you want, what you can afford in today's market or what you think you'll be able to afford shortly, not too far from it, don't go crazy, and go ahead and shop it. Then when you find the house, you say, okay, it's a little bit higher than I expected. You'll be better off later on your refinance. You buy a nice dress, okay? If you spend $500 on that dress and you hate it, you always remember you spent $500. You buy a dress for $1,000 and you love it, I guarantee you a year or two from now, you're not going to remember exactly what you paid for it. Don't be penny wise and dollar foolish. Shop for your house. Get the home of your dreams. The payments will be okay. You'll be happy to spend it. Don't compromise, and you'll be better off at the end.
And Stewie can help guide you through all of that. So if you have questions, I see a lot of people putting in some questions here that are a little bit more specific to their own circumstances. So please do not hesitate to reach out to Stewie. He's a friend of mine. I'm a customer of his. You can trust him with your economic situation. He will guide you to make a decision that is financially smart. And so all you got to do is reach out to him. Call him or text him at 314-324-4440, 314-324-4440, or Google the bagel loan. Stewie, I love when you come in here. It seems like they're going to maybe do the right thing again, and we'll get you back in when that happens.
It'll be my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Stewart's American Mortgage. Google the bagel loan for more information. Okay, let's get Ryan Wiggins back in here, and we'll continue to talk about that poll. Would you vote for a woman? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote there. Stick around. We'll be right back. So, would you vote for a woman for president? Hillary Clinton seems to think that maybe Kamala's not getting a fair shake because she's a woman.
I have to do it, Kara. I'm going to just cut to the chase. In fact, she's put out policies on her campaign website. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's truly interested can go and read about them. She referenced policies. Mm-hmm. She actually doesn't just have policies and concepts. She has, you know, plans about what to do. I think it's a, you know, it's a double standard. And it's a double standard that is partly because they are still getting to know her, but also because they're still grappling with the idea like, oh, am I really going to vote for a woman to be president and commander in chief?
Yeah, if the alternative sucks, like, why wouldn't you vote for a woman? Here's a real question. Men, heterosexual men in the room.
Thank you.
Oh. You were,
no, no, you knew.
Obviously.
You said men. There's only two people in here. I question whether or not that would have been directed to me.
You're talking an awful lot.
I'm fine.
You're secure? Oversharing,
kind of like
Ryan.
I'm nervous oversharing.
I said
heterosexual men and you took over.
Well, that's what I do. Anytime people around
maybe,
the office.
Maybe that's what you
water
think
cooler.
Heterosexual men
people are
men
just
do.
Talking about heterosexual men. I'm like, hello.
Here, you needed one? I'm right here.
Obviously yeah. Talking about me.
Completely. Who you've been looking for right here. Ta-da.
Here I am. I was behind the freezer door. Just closed it.
When men... I don't believe that heterosexual men will look at a woman who's running for president without internally assessing if they find that woman attractive. I think heterosexual men look at women and gauge their attractiveness in a non-creepy kind of way. I just think it's part of the process. Is that wrong?
First thing I do, I assess the person as a person.
I need you to think about what you're about to say.
I always assess a person first for the quality of their character, Annie.
Which is impossible when you first see them.
Then I consider how hot they are. But first, it's character. Always character.
Oh, my gosh.
We talk about this around the water cooler, too. People are like, heterosexual male. And I'm like, hello. And they're like,
is that what you do?
Hello. And then...
And then
we talk about the content of someone's character, and then we get a drink, and then we talk about how hot we are, and then we go home.
I don't think that women look at men and don't assess their attractiveness. I just don't think it's as immediate. I think women can find men attractive in a much more significant way when the personality matches the initial attraction. Am I oversimplifying?
No. I think you're right. I think that for guys, I mean, for me at least, I look. you said for president, and I like you could just drop that portion of that question off. Every time I look at a girl, and this is going to sound terrible because it's just without context, but I do assess their beauty, and I look at them and I'm like, oh, that she's attractive, she's pretty, and it's not in a creepy way. It's just an observation.
A male heterosexual thing. Go ahead, Ryan.
Let me tell you.
He's going to interrupt me.
Let me
again.
Tell you something. The last couple times we've had a female candidate for president Nikki Haley, but she didn't get the nomination. We've had Kamala Harris. We've had Hillary Clinton. So we think, oh, this is a Republican Democrat thing. I recall when Sarah Palin was on the ticket, there were a lot of really nasty comments from men, and they were not Republicans, clearly.
Yeah.
So this is very much a man-woman thing, not Republican-Democrat
and,
thing.
You know, the reason I bring this up is not because my assessment isn't at all that is the thing that matters to men. I just think it is... inextricably part of the process for men.
It's first in the workflow.
And then you move on and then you make smarter decisions. But I don't think women do that as much. I do wonder for men if you think that there are any broad assumption holdbacks that men would have for voting for a woman for president. I mean, is it just like if a man were doing that, is it just chauvinistic? Like we went in the first hour, we talked about problems women have with women. And being a female broadcaster on the air, I know that there are things that women don't like about me. And there are things that in some cases, maybe I could, if I knew specifically what they were, I could do better at them. But I bet you that there are women on television that you don't like the way their lip moves when they talk or something like that. And I don't think men are paying attention to that stuff.
Not nearly as much.
Mm-hmm. No. But if I point, there are things that I will notice if I point out to you guys, you'll be like, oh yeah.
I can see that.
that happens.
It like would never occur to you. So I as a female myself, I can be extra critical of other women. And I understand that the system works the way against me as well. Is there any hang up?
It's hard because you almost have to separate generic female candidate from Kamala Harris. Because there are things about Kamala Harris.
Well, you've got Kamala, you've got Hillary, you've got Nikki, you've got Sarah Palin, who you rightfully brought into the conversation.
But she just doesn't seem serious. And some people might say, well, you're being misogynistic.
Hillary. But Hillary really. Clinton is saying that you're being misogynistic.
Yeah, but Hillary Clinton herself did seem more serious about things. Like, I wouldn't necessarily trust her to make great foreign policy, but I would think that she would walk into a room and be respected in a sense that I don't think Kamala would. So
it's a very good point.
I don't think it's necessarily a misogynistic point of view to criticize Kamala on some of the things that people are saying. No, that's misogynistic.
And it's easy to wash them away and not take the criticism seriously.
Yes.
When you envelop it in, well, they just don't like women. To which I point out to Hillary Clinton once again, the Democrats are the ones who need to show up to vote for Kamala Harris. And if the Democrats don't like women, you've got a pretty deep problem. It's kind of like a policy point. Woman, check, vote. That's supposed to be enough.
Yeah.
And apparently, even for the Democrats, it's not enough. Are you telling me to wrap or one more minute?
One more minute.
Okay, that's what I figured.
One more minute. What do you guys want to talk about?
We're going to be in the new studio, the new old studio tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking
excited
forward
about
to that.
Maybe. We might decide to stay here.
Yeah, this could just be our studio. We should change the name to the Annie Fry Show Studio.
That would go
When I was walking outside
really well.
Just now, somebody was like, your time checks are so good in there.
I think
you guys would just stay in there.
I think that you are dehydrated. I think you need to listen more intently. Listen with your ears, not just your eyes.
Well, I was just standing outside the water cooler waiting for somebody to say heterosexual male. Nobody did, so I came
really
back in.
We don't really have a water cooler.
No, but we have a water machine.
Yeah.
It makes ice and water.
Sort of.
It's awesome.
We actually have two.
Right next to each other.
Yeah. You never really understood that.
Mix those up in the building. Come tell us what you think. Would you vote for a woman for president, yes or no? I'm watching these results come in, and, well, it's not as close as it was before, but maybe closer than I thought it would be. Stick around the 2 o'clock hour next.